Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now, and we praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener, for the prayers and support. And most of all, for the Holy Word, for God, and the messages that He has given to us. Today, we're going to continue in our series on God and politics, and we're going to be talking about the three pillars of God's kingdom. And so with the election coming up, it's very important to know what is God's interest in the election, and how does He evaluate candidates, who does He promote. And if you don't believe God's involved in elections, I'm sorry you missed the first three messages in this series. But God is keenly aware of the politics and of the election in the United States, and He is very much involved. So turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Today we're going to be talking about God and politics, the three pillars of God's kingdom. And we'll take up this message in just a minute. I want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? We are in the rainy season, the fall rains, and it's raining just about every day now. We've been doing a lot of planting, and we're actually harvesting a bean crop as well. Lots of work going on in the farm, and we have about 3 to 4 acres we're working by hand. And so we have many hands out there working, and in the ministry, we're praying about building a school. We have an acre of land that we are already working on the farm, and we want to add another acre to that. And then we would have 2 acres there adjoining each other, and we could build a school, have a football field. And so that is what we're praying about. Pray about that with us. Pray about your part in helping us. We need partners to come alongside this ministry. We need partners to pray about their part in seeing Kenya move forward, the kingdom of God move forward in Kenya. And so we would love to have you partner with us so we can get this school project going and get these kids in a good Christian school, a good Christian environment where they are learning the subjects, the ABCs, but at the same time, they're in a good Christian environment and learning about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So pray about that. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be continuing our message on the politics coming up, the politics of the day, the election coming up. What is God's interest in the election? And the Bible says that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and He moves it wherever He wishes, just like rivers of water. And so if you read the Old Testament, the anointing of Saul to become the first king of Israel, King Saul, the anointing of David when Saul became disobedient and didn't follow the Lord's instructions, then the Lord anointed King David. And so there's many, many stories in the Old Testament that show that God is keenly involved. And I use that because the keenly is a term that the British leave here. In other words, God is aware, and not only aware, but He is involved. He has His hand on the scale. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. And so God has His finger on the scale, and He will tip the election. He already showed me back in 2015 that He was raising up a man to be president of the United States. Well, you know who that man was, but the dream that the Lord gave me showing He was raising up that man came many months before the election. He did the same thing in 2020. He did the same thing in 2022 here in Kenya. He showed me He was raising up William Ruto to be president of the country of Kenya, and some other details in the election. All those details have also come to pass. And so God is aware. He's not only aware, but He's interested, and He is going to move on behalf of the people and the prayers of the people of a nation. God's interest in a nation is entirely dependent upon the prayers and the desires of the people of that nation. And so you can easily see why in North Korea or communist China, there's not a real big, although there's many Christians in China, it's an underground church. The government and the official arms of government do not really support the open worship of Jesus Christ as Lord, the open and transparent promotion of the church and of religion. So I'm going to start here, before we go to Genesis, I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 5, and just to show you that God is involved, but he listens to the desires of the people. And this is Joshua 5, verse 13, and it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand." That is a man. It's capitalized here in the King James Version. And it says, "A man stood opposite Joshua with the army of the Lord. I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" So it's very important to understand this man is showing up at the beginning of the battle. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he, the man, said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And then in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, and the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Well, this is a pre-incarnate appearance by Jesus Christ, the commander of the Lord's army. The commander of the Lord's army in verse 15, the commander speaks to Joshua and says, "Take your sandal off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And so Jesus appears to Joshua when Joshua is getting ready to take the children of Israel into the battle of their life. And the children of Israel have been out in the wilderness area for 40 years. They've been circling round and round, waiting to go in. Moses is now dead. Joshua has taken over as commander of the children of Israel, as commander of the people's army. And so they're getting ready for the battle of their life. Well, Jesus shows up and he shows Joshua that he is the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua said, asked him this main question: "Are you for us or are you against us?" Well, beloved, God isn't Republican. God isn't Democrat. God isn't a registered independent. He's not for the Libertarian Party. He is for whoever does the ordinances of God. He is for whoever is obedient to the commandments of God. And that's what Jesus said. "I'm not for you. I'm not for your adversaries. I'm not for the Libertarian Party. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. Whoever is keeping my commandments." And so Joshua asked him that question because Joshua wanted to know, was this man who was standing in front of him, who Joshua knew had a terrifying appearance and an awesome appearance, is this man going to fight for us, or is he going to fight against us? Because he had a sword drawn and he was ready for battle. Well, beloved, we're in the very same place here in the United States of America. We're getting ready to go into battle. We're getting ready to go into the promised land. And we have to know, is the Lord for us or is the Lord against us? Well, I can tell you, the Lord is for whoever is keeping his commandments. And so you think about the two parties, two primary parties that are primarily involved in this election. Which one represents the voice of the Lord? Which one is speaking for God? Which one is speaking for the commandments of God that you find in his holy word? Which one is keeping the ordinances of God that he outlines in his holy word? Well, when you stop and think about that and you pray about it, ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to show you who he is for. Don't just go by the hair color. Don't just go by the skin color. Don't just go by who has slept with who. ask yourself, God, show me who is the commander of the Lord of hosts. Ask yourself, Commander, who are you for in this election? Who are you standing with in this election? Beloved, God will show you because he wants you to know. He doesn't want to keep his people in ignorance. He doesn't want to keep his people in the dark. He wants you to know who he is backing, who he is for. That's why God gave me that dream in 2015, and he showed me who he was raising up, a man who was number 16 on the Republican side of the ticket. Number 16 had never held an office in his life, had never been elected to anything in his life, and he had been a businessman, built a business empire. Yes, he had struggles at different times. Everybody in business does. But he had a heart for the Lord. He had a heart that the Lord saw, and that heart was for the kingdom of God. That heart was for the Lord, and God raised this man up. He showed me that in a very detailed dream. Don't write me, don't email me, tell me I'm a false prophet. Don't write me and tell me who appointed you to be a prophet to the Lord. That's a whole nother subject. You can become a prophet too if you dig into God's word, spend time in prayer, and spend time in fellowship with the Lord. You too can become a prophet. So don't write me and tell me I'm a fake prophet or a false prophet. Save your pen and ink, save your email. I've heard it all before. All right, in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, the pillars of God's kingdom are laid out here. And why do we want to look at God's pillars of his kingdom? Because America is a nation built on the foundation of God's word. America is a nation built on the foundation of the pillars of God's kingdom. America is a nation that has been ordained by God. Go back and read the founders' documents. It is a nation that was built by God and ordained to be a missionary sending nation, an apostolic nation to send out missionaries to every corner and every nation in the world. And so the pillars of God's kingdom, God promotes those in the United States of America. He promotes them through his church. He promotes them through people who pray. He promotes them through people who preach. He promotes them through people who write. And so this is God's interest in this election. It was God's interest in ordaining this nation. It was God's interest in forming the original 13 colonies. All of this is of God, and it is very important to the God we serve. So now let's get into the three pillars. If you do not understand the pillars, you will never understand the kingdom of God here on this earth. And so now let's get into the three pillars. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so it's very important to understand that we are here on this earth. You're here listening to me. I'm speaking on this radio broadcast, but we are here because God created us in his image. And so this is the first pillar of God's kingdom. God made the template. He had the template. He laid it down on the earth. And he blew his breath into that template. He blew his breath into that soil. And the Bible tells us that God blew in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils. He breathed his breath into his nostrils, and that breath was the breath of life. And that man became a living being. Beloved, that's how you were created. That's how Adam was created. Well, you're not created out of the dust as such. You are the product of a union between a sperm and an egg. But God still blew his breath into you. There was a spark. There was a breath that came into you at one point, and you became not just a union of a sperm and an egg, but you became a living being, a life-giving, a life-breathing, a life entering soul with a breath and with a spirit and with a soul and a body. And so that is the sanctity of human life. That is the first pillar of God's kingdom. And that is the first pillar of the platform that God wants to establish and promote here on this earth, that we do not take human life innocently, that we do not take human life lightly. And so therefore, when you think about what's going on in the United States and the abortion, the killing of babies, the indiscriminate killing of babies that has been going on in the United States, 60 million plus at this point since 1974, this is the first pillar that holds up God's kingdom. God is very grieved about this. There's already judgment being poured out on America because of this indiscriminate killing. And so we have an obligation to raise up the unborn, to speak for the unborn, to promote the unborn, because every single person was created in the image of God. Every single person is created in the image of God. And it behooves us as born-again believers to understand this is the first pillar in God's kingdom. And so God is not wanting us, no justification for abortion, no justification for taking life lightly and taking life of the innocents. And so it is God's plan and God's primary purpose on this earth that we promote human life. Well, there are instances, of course, when abortion may be absolutely necessary to save the life of the mother and that type of thing. But for the most part, God will never agree to aborting innocent children. He will never agree to murdering innocent children. And so that is the first pillar of God's kingdom. He says, do not shed the blood of the innocents. And just as it's wrong to jump out of your car and shoot somebody if you disagree over a traffic light, it's equally even more wrong to kill the unborn just for convenience, just for the sake of sexual promiscuity, just for the sake of you don't think you can support that person, that unborn person. You don't think you can support them in their coming life or your coming life. It is not God's will. It is not God's plan. And think about who promotes the killing of the unborn in the United States of America. So that is pillar number one, that we are all made in God's image. And those who don't believe in the Trinity, you can look at that scripture. Let us make man in our image. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit speaking in unity there. There's the Trinity. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so they gave man dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the things that creep on the earth. So verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? We have a spirit. God has a spirit. We have a soul. God has a soul. Do a word study on the soul of God. The soul of God was grieved. The soul of God repented. Do a word study on that. God has a soul. God has a body. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth, looking to see who would honor him and respect him. God's hand is not too short that it cannot reach out and save, or God's arm is not too short that it cannot reach out and save. So God has a body, he has a soul, he has a spirit, and we are made in the image of God. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And so that spirit is that part of us that wants to communicate with God, wants to hear from God. When our soul and our body are in rebellion and linking up or connecting with the world, our spirit still wants to hear from God. Our spirit still cries out to God. That's why prodigals come back. That's why people cry out to the Lord when they don't even know the Lord. That's why people have a desire to know God, even though they've never been taught about God. Even missionaries see people in far-off places in the world who've never been taught about God, but they have an innate desire to know God. Creation speaks about God, and that's all they know about him. And so we are created in the image of God. And then it says male and female, he created them. Why did he make them male and female? Well, he's going to tell us here in verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so that's the reason God created them male and female, was to replicate or duplicate or replenish the earth, which implies that maybe the earth had people at one time, even prior to Genesis 1. Maybe there was a pre-Adamite world where the earth was populated and something happened that the earth was no longer populated. And so he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth or replenish the earth and subdue it. And then he gave them dominion again, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God has ordained reproduction. Sex is a beautiful thing. Sexual relationships are a beautiful thing when they are within the confines and within the guidelines of marriage, where God has ordained two people to come together, one male, one female. And so all the sexual perversion that we see going on in the United States, promotion of homosexuality, and now promotion of transgender, and promotion of 50 different kinds of gender, it is all from the devil. It is all against the will of God. God said, one Adam, one Eve. God made them male and female. If you go to Matthew chapter 19 and they asked Jesus about divorce, he took them back to the scripture and he said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. There's two genders, male and female. Everything else is a lie from the devil. Everything else is a promotion of perversion and confusion that has been unleashed by the devil onto our children and onto adults who are promoting this in schools and promoting this in social media. There are two genders, male and female. God created them that way so that they could promote their families, so that they could multiply and replenish the earth and create offspring that would also come to know God. The original evangelism program, the original promotion of the kingdom of God comes through family. The effective evangelism of raising up your children to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that is the second pillar of God's kingdom, the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. The third pillar of God's kingdom, chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, go out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God shows Abram this land and he says, go to this land and I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, we know that nation became Israel. Verse 7 in chapter 12, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And then he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then in chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in it, land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Well, beloved, that is the land of Israel. That is the third pillar in God's kingdom. Jesus is coming back to Israel. He's not coming back to Washington, D.C. He's not coming back to New York City or Kansas City. He's coming back to Israel. Israel is the place where God has planted his chosen people. They came back to that place in 1948. and established the nation of Israel. Never had anything ever in the history of mankind been done like that before, where God drew a nation out of the 200 nations across the earth. He drew a nation out of them and planted them back on their own land with their own Hebrew language. And he said, "This land that I gave to your father Abraham, I'm giving it back to you. It is yours. It is your land to keep and to establish, and I will protect you. I will defend you." And so that is the third pillar of God's kingdom. Think about who has defended God's land of Israel. Think about the candidates who promote the land of Israel, who promotes the protection of Israel, who promotes Israel defense from their enemies who are trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, who promotes the enemies. Think about that. And so these are the three pillars of God's kingdom: the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and the sanctity, or the preservation and the promotion, of God's chosen people and his land, the nation of Israel, where Jesus is coming back. Beloved, you better be ready, because Jesus is coming back. And so this is the election in a nutshell. You think about and pray about and ask the Lord to show you who is promoting God's kingdom on this earth. Don't look at the natural qualities. Don't look at the personalities. Don't look at the news reports and the polls. That isn't what God is looking at. He's looking at the heart of the people and the heart of the person who is promoting his kingdom on this earth. The commander of the Lord of hosts said, "I'm not for you or against you. I'm for the Lord's kingdom." Beloved, that is the election in the United States, and really every country, in a nutshell. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoy these messages. We invite you to partner with this ministry. We need your support here in Africa to promote the kingdom of God here in Africa and to continue these radio broadcasts. Pray about your part. Pray about your part in sitting down today and writing out a check to support this ministry. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these messages. We'd love to hear from you today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.